Meanwhile, a Palestinian commission for prisoners says that the number of Palestinian prisoners held under Israel's so-called administrative detention has increased to 700. The Palestinian Commission of Detainees and Ex-Detainees Affairs said in a statement recently that the reason for the surge is that Israel has intensified its administrative detention orders in recent months, particularly in occupied East Al-Quds. The commission further noted that the Palestinian administrative detainees often resort to hunger strikes to secure their release from prison, adding that some inmates have gone on hunger strike for more than 150 days before securing their freedom. More than 7,000 Palestinian prisoners are currently held in about 23 Israeli jails. Hundreds of detainees, including women and minors, are being held under administrative detention. Rights groups describe Israel's use of the detention system as a bankrupt tactic and have long called on Israel to end its use. Under the administrative detention, Israel keeps Palestinians without charge for up to 6 months, a period that can be extended an infinite number of times. The detention takes place on orders from a military commander and on the basis of what the Israeli regime describes as secret evidence. Some prisoners have been held in administrative detention for up to 11 years.
Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us the sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Light of Allah, you are our true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, welcome to Arab English Radio. You're listening to The Last Savior, in which we discuss all the essential key points regarding the concept of Mahdawiyyah and the last savior of humankind, Imam Mahdi ajalallah farajah. And for today's episode, we're privileged to have the Islamic researcher, Dr. Karimi, with us. Assalamu alaikum, doctor, and glad to have you here.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Of course, the pleasure is all ours. Okay, dear listeners, today we are going to continue the discussion that we've already started previously on the last savior. We were talking about the governance of Imam Mahdi ajalallah farajah. We talked about religion and we talked about the justice parts of his political governing. And still, there are some points, I guess, that are remaining from the justice perspective of the governance of Imam Mahdi to hear from Dr. Karimi.
We talked about different points regarding justice of Imam Mahdi, السلام, especially the economic justice of the Imam. Let me just share one narration from the Prophet. As I mentioned, when we talk about the fact that at that time, we do not have poor people anymore, one of the reasons is the justice of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the effect it has on the people to act upon justice. And the second point is that at that time we have so many blessings which were not there before.
Yeah.
Let me just share one narration in this regard and to show how great that world would be after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And may Allah include us among the people who would be present at that time.
Inshallah.
The Holy Prophet is quoted as saying, يَتَنَعَّمُ أُمَّتِي فِي زَمَنِ الْمَهْدِ نِعْمَةً لَمْ يَتَنَعَّمُ قَبْلَهَا قَتْ. My nation, the Muslim nation, after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, are so blessed with divine blessings that it is for the first time in the whole history of mankind. It
of
is
course.
Unique. يُرْسَلَ السَّمَاءُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِدْرَارًا. So the rain of mercy falls upon the people. وَلَا تَدَعُ الْأَرْضُ شَيْئًا مِنْ نَبَاتِهَا إِلَّا أَخْرَجَتْهُ. The earth will reveal all the plants which are possible to be planted.
There will be so much
earth.
Of abundance.
Exactly. So this is, and I, as I mentioned, there are many hidden territories nowadays that we are not aware of, and the narrations tell us that at that time not only we have such blessing like rain and agriculture, but those hidden treasures would be also revealed by Imam Mahdi. Exactly. So Imam Mahdi alayhi salam has enough properties, and that is why this is another point that help him and help all the other people to act upon justice when it comes to economic justice, to distribute properties among the people equally, and to make all the people rich enough. So much so that, as I mentioned in narrations, tell us that you cannot find any person even for the sake of charity. With that, we may finish our discussion regarding justice as one of the features of the government of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Now that we have finished the religious aspect and also the political aspect, economical aspect, and we talked about justice, now we come to the point that it is going to be a sort of universal governance, which seems to be very unimaginable.
That's the point. And I think in one of the previous sessions you called it utopia, and this is the real utopia that people are looking for. And one of the reasons is that we do not have such differences among the people in terms of the borders and different countries and so on and so forth. We do not need to get a passport and visa to go to other parts of the world. So after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, all these differences cease to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. We have only one government. And imagine this world with all these different countries are ruled only by one divine holy man, an infallible person, who is acting upon justice.
And so I guess the whole story is about the readiness of people and the insight they're going to have when the Imam is going to reappear.
This is the point that is referred to in some of the narrations, that people, I mean, most of the people are exhausted before the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. They have tested all the isms. They have tested all different sorts of, types of governance. And that is why when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will bring this notion, as I mentioned before, it's very unlikely for, truth-seeking people not to believe in Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
And we would come to a point in this world in which all the people are longing for the Savior. So when he comes, they would be so submissive.
Yeah, and that is why we believe that only few people, which we may call it today superpowers, would resist Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. We may not think of lay people, normal people, truth-seeking people to resist against Imam
Mahdi
alayhi salam.
Because they are the deprived ones.
Yeah. And even they may be rich, but they are exhausted of the systems. And all these, because you might be rich, but you suffer
don't have a sound to talk.
And you may suffer by seeing other people to be poor. So, and one of the points is that that government of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is universal. We have only one leader for the whole world. Although, in some of the narrations, for example, logically speaking, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, his center or his headquarters might be one of the cities, like Kufa, as mentioned in some of the narrations, but he will rule the whole world. Of course, as I mentioned before, he's in need of many governors and rulers and agents to be sent into different countries and cities. But the point is that we have only one Islamic government. In one narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying, يُفَرِّقُ الْمَهْدِ أَصْحَابَهُ فِي جَمِيعَ الْبُلْدَانِ. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will send his companions to different cities, ويأمرهم بالعدل والإحسان, and he orders them to act upon justice and goodness. ويجعلهم حكاما في الأقاليم, and he will select them and appoint them as the rulers of different regions. ويأمرهم بعمران المدن, and he orders them to develop the cities. So even all the agents at that time will act upon the orders of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. In another narration, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is quoted as saying, وَيَبْعَثُ الْمَهْدِي جُنُودَهُ إِلَى الْآفَاقِ. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will send his armies, his people to different corners of the world before, of course, establishing that one government. وَيُمِيتُ الْجَوْرَ وَأَهْلَهُ, and they will remove the oppression and the people of the oppression. And finally, تَسْتَقِيمُ لَهُ الْبُلْدَانِ, all the people of different countries will be submissive to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So in many narrations we are told about the fact that the governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is all inclusive, it is universal, like the narration from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, in which he says, يبلغ سلطانه المشرق والمغرب. The governance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam reaches the east and the west of the world, meaning that it is only one leader ruling the whole world. Abu Basir, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says that I asked the Imam, وَمَنْ الْقَائِمْ مِنْكُمْ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. O the Imam, who is the Qa'im among you, the Ahl al-Bayt, the household of the Prophet? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, referring to his son Musa, Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam, said that هُوَ الْخَامِسُ مِنْ وَلْدِ إِبْنِ مُوسَى. He is the fifth offspring of my son Musa. Mm-hmm. Imam Kazim is the seventh Imam, and Imam Mahdi is the 12th Imam, which means that he is the fifth offspring and child of Imam Kazim alayhi salam. And then the Imam continues to explain more about Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. يَغِيبُ غَيْبَةً يَرْتَابُ فِيهَا الْمُبْتَلُونَ. Another prediction by one of our Imams about the time of the major occultation that we are going through. He will have an occultation so much so that some people will have a kind of doubt regarding Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and regarding his occultation. Then Yuzhirullahu Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal him, referring to the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. فَيَفْتَهُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through him, will open the east of the world and the west of it.
Yeah.
Again, referring to the fact that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will rule the whole
world. All the earth world. Is going to be his territory.
Exactly. Another interesting narration that it seemed that it is referring to one of the contemporary types of technologies, and maybe people in the past could not understand in its narration in its proper sense of the word. In this narration, the Imam says, أَنَّهُ إِذَا تَنَاهَتِ الْأُمُورِ إِلَىٰ صَاحِبَ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ. When all the affairs are given to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, referring to the time of the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, رَفَعَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى كُلَّ مُنْخَفِضًا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. God raises every low point of this earth for him, وَخَفَضَ لَهُ كُلَّ مُرْتَفَعًا, and lowers every high point for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So it doesn't mean that the earth becomes flat, so it's not spherical anymore.
Logical.
It's not referring to that.
Yeah.
It's not possible. Maybe this is referring to the fact that this is a kind of metaphor referring to the fact that through technology, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is able to watch the whole world as if there is no high point, there is no low point.
Yeah.
Everything is just clear for him. He's able to
Visible.
See the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the past, people thought that it's a kind of miracle, but nowadays we know that it is very possible through technology. So the Imam says that there is no high point for the Imam and low point, meaning that Imam is able to see the whole world.
All the corners of the world are available for him.
Exactly. حَتَّى تَكُونَ الدُّنْيَا عِنْدَهُ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الرَّاحَةِ. So much so that the whole world for him, for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, would be like the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
And Imam says, فَأَيُّكُمْ لَوْ كَانَتْ فِي رَاحَتِهِ شَعْرَةٌ لَمْ يُبْصِرْهَا. If there is one hair on your palm, is it possible for you not to see it? Mm-hmm. It's not possible.
Yeah.
The same is the whole world very in the sight nice. Of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. He is watching the whole world.
So nothing is hidden from
nothing
him.
Nothing is hidden from him. So it seems that it's very possible through modern technologies and the later technologies which would be revealed by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And of course, there is another possibility that it's a kind of miracle of the Imam. But it seems that based on today's technologies, it's not very far from thinking that it's done through a kind of technology. It's not in need of any miracle to be performed by Imam Mahdi.
Yeah, nowadays it's very much relatable because you sit in a corner and then the entire world is in the palm of your hand.
Not only the entire world, you are able to watch the other planets
to some extent. Yeah. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I wish we could be able to survive until that day in order to see that utopia, dear listeners.
And of course, we believe in the concept of Raj'a, the fact that some dead people would be revived after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, so we can be hopeful of being among those people.
Those very lucky people. Yeah. So thank you, dear listeners. Stay tuned for other episodes.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Bad news about energy crisis in Europe has haunted news headlines these days. And this time, energy regulator Ofgem has announced that it expects gas shortages in the UK this winter. According to a recent report, around 30 energy suppliers in the UK have already collapsed over the past several months. In this regard, we have taken a look at the world media for further details. Stay tuned, please. The website of RT wrote, the UK may enter a gas supply emergency due to shortages this winter, according to energy regulator Ofgem. Britain reportedly relies on gas-fired power plants for about 40% of its electricity supply, while roughly 8 in 10 UK households use gas to heat their homes. In cases of supply energy, some gas-fired power plants and other big gas users might be cut off and have to halt operations. They would then face imbalance charges, which could result in insolvency, both SSE and Ofgem warned. According to a recent report from The Guardian, around 30 energy suppliers have already collapsed over the past several months. Due to the war in Ukraine and gas shortages in Europe, there is a significant risk that gas shortages could occur during the winter 2022 to 2023 in Great Britain. As a result, there is a possibility that GB could enter into a gas supply emergency, Ofgem said in a letter responding to a request by energy generator SSE that the regulator should address the risk of possible insolvencies. The letter was first made public by The Times. SSE stated in its request, even if such an emergency does not occur, the risk that it could occur is likely to force generators to reduce their forward and day-ahead trading, reducing liquidity in electricity markets and raising costs for electricity consumers. The UK's energy market is connected to those of continental Europe and usually relies on gas and electricity imports through undersea pipelines and cables from the EU and Norway if shortfalls occur. However, recent events which caused Russia to stop supplying gas to the EU via the Nord Stream 1 pipeline heightens fears of supply shortages. Some industry experts say shortages are unlikely but warn that prices may spike further in the coming months. According to the latest Department for Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy data, average UK electricity prices in 2021 were £18.9 per kilowatt hour. But by the end of 2022, they are estimated to jump to £34 kilowatt hour. Also, Bloomberg wrote, the UK faces a significant risk of gas shortages this winter and could enter an emergency that would see power stations switched off, according to regulator Ofgem. A second stage of a network gas supply emergency would enforce load shedding on the largest users, such as gas-fired stations, Ofgem's head of wholesale market management, Grandon Thompson, said in a letter accepting a request by generator SSE PLC that the regulator should urgently address the risk of possible insolvencies. Russia has squeezed gas flows to Europe in retaliation for sanctions imposed by the West following Moscow's crisis with Ukraine. That's curbed global gas supply with increased competition for the fuel, raising the prospect of blackouts this winter, as about 40% of the UK's electricity comes from burning gas. If generators are switched off, they would face massive imbalance charges and credit cover requirements that could drive them insolvent, SSE said in its request dated on September 28. Even if such an emergency does not occur, the risk that it could occur is likely to force generators to reduce their forward and day-ahead trading, reducing liquidity in electricity markets and raising costs for electricity consumers, SSE added. The Times first reported Ofgem's letter.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, faithfulness towards friend. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. Now, in today's lesson, I would like to share with you about a certain topic, an important topic, and that is faithfulness towards a friend. How important is faithfulness during any type of friendship or any type of relationship that we are having? Friendship needs faithfulness. Why? Because your friend or a friend that you're having is someone who you live together with in a long period of time. In a day, a human being can be living with friends maybe more than he is living with his friends. Because whenever you're leaving your house in the morning, you're going for the workplace, and you're staying at your workplace, let's say, like 12 hours, 15 hours, 24 hours, you're definitely living more with those people at the workplace than you are living with your family back at home. So this definitely shows that you need to have the right amount, the good amount of friends in your life. And whenever you have these particular friends, the one you're working with, the one you're playing with in the playground, in football, or wherever it is, you need to practice faithfulness between you two, because the amount of quality time you're spending together is going to bring out more fruits if you're faithful with each other. Because faithfulness brings about good relationship, and good relationship brings about good results in life and definitely builds you to be a better person than you are. Whenever you leave in the morning, you come, you meet your friends, you sit with each other together, share your views with each other, share whatever you have with each other in a faithful manner. It's definitely going to make you two become better companions and be successful in your lives.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano, and we're talking about the faithfulness towards a friend and how important it is in our lives. We have examples of faithfulness in the lives of the Prophet, in the lives of the Imams, or the holy Imams. And one of the examples that we want to talk about of faithfulness is that of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was reported from him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his wife Khadija, may Allah be pleased with her, had friends in her life. When Khadija died, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to remember her friends and presented them with gifts. It was reported that whenever he slaughtered a ram, he used to say, "Send it to the friends of Khadija." Then one day, Aisha asked him why he was doing this. He replied, "Because I love her friend." This surely shows us that a friend is he who is faithful to his friend and never abandons him at the time of difficulties and need. Faithfulness is really important during our relationship and our friendship. And he will never, whenever you do such like thing, such a faithful act, he will never forget you or forget your deed when he gets a social position. So faithfulness here, this particular happening, this particular story of the Prophet sharing things with the friends of Khadija shows that whenever you are faithful to someone, you aren't just looking at them. You're looking at them and the people he or she loves. You're looking at them and their families, their friends, the people they're living with, their colleagues. So being faithful to them means that you can help them whenever you have the ability to help them. And you can also not just help them, but you can help their friends too, their relations, their sons or daughters. And in this case, we realize that our relationship becomes bigger and better, and they won't be breaking as we see they do in our day-to-day life. So faithfulness is a practice that every person in whatever relationship he is in should practice in order for them to better their relationship. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Until next episode, inshallah, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
One of the main goals of Russia's special operation in Ukraine is to counter NATO's expansionist policies. And also, as President Vladimir Putin announced on the eve of the operation, he wants to denazify Ukraine from far-right extremists. But after the start of Russia's special operation in Ukraine, Western countries, especially United States and Britain, are trying to inflame the fire of war by helping Ukraine with huge cargoes of arms and ammunition, and imposing extensive sanctions against Moscow. Recently, some sabotage happened in the Russian gas export pipelines to European countries, which caused gas leakage in the sea and blocked the flow of Russian gas to Europe. Russian officials have analyzed this and believe it to be an act of sabotage by the United States and British intelligence services. We have taken a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The RIA Novosti news agency reported that Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov told reporters on Thursday, 29th of September, that the Nord Stream pipeline incident looks like a terrorist act on a state level. According to Dmitry Peskov, it is very difficult to imagine that such a terrorist act could take place without the involvement of some state. Peskov also said that even though Russia and the United States do not maintain substantive contact through their special services, the emergency situation with the Nord Stream gas pipeline requires active and operational cooperation. Peskov pointed out, "We do not have any substantive contact or cooperation between security agencies. However, the unprecedented nature of this event, it seems that this is such a terrorist act, perhaps at the state level, of course it requires very active and energetic cooperation. This is an extremely dangerous situation that requires urgent investigation." Meanwhile, Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said the Nord Stream pipeline incidents took place in the exclusive economic zone of Denmark and Sweden, an area that is fully controlled by US intelligence agencies. Commenting on the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline leaks on Wednesday, 28th of September, Maria Zakharova recalled that officials in Washington had asserted earlier this year that the Nord Stream 2 pipeline would never go into service. The Foreign Ministry spokeswoman demanded, among other things, that U.S. President Joe Biden issue a reply as to whether Washington had carried out its threat over the pipelines on 25th and 26th of September. On Tuesday, 27th of September, Nord Stream AG reported about unprecedented damage on Monday, 26th of September, that affected three lines of the Nord Stream 1 and 2 gas pipelines registered within several hours. The first was identified along Nord Stream 2 pipeline near the Danish island of Bornholm, and two further leaks were discovered afterwards. Denmark's energy agency announced a large amount of natural gas had streamed out. Aircraft and vessels were advised to stay at least 5 miles away from the site of the incident. Later, Swiss seismologists reported two explosions had been recorded along the routes of both pipelines on Monday, 26th of September. Sweden's Coast Guard discovered another gas leak from the pipelines on Thursday, 29th of September. Russia Today explains more about the same story. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said NATO conducted exercises using deep-sea equipment in the area where gas leaks in the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines were detected recently. Maria Zakharova added that the entire Baltic Sea is packed full of the bloc's military infrastructure. Speaking at a regular press briefing on Thursday, 29th of September, Zakharova dismissed any allegations that Russia was behind the incident. She asked, "May I ask you a question? When exactly did Russia decide it wanted to stop supplying energy to Europe?" Zakharova said NATO was engaged in military activities close to the location where the leaks were found, noting that it might have presented an interesting opportunity for the bloc. She quipped, "So maybe the NATO bases never conducted exercises there, while American soldiers have never been stationed on the territory of nearby countries." Adding that this summer, in the area of Bornholm, Denmark, NATO conducted exercises that used deep-sea equipment. Maria Zakharova was apparently referring to Exercise Baltic Operations 22 in the Baltic Sea, which took place in June of 2022 and were meant to demonstrate the military bloc's mine-hunting capabilities. In particular, it sought to experiment with unmanned underwater vehicles, or UUVs, by deploying them off the coast of the Danish island of Bornholm. Zakharova urged Washington to offer an explanation and confess to the truth, saying that the US had left that job to Poland's former foreign minister, Radoslaw Sikorski, who earlier thanked the United States for destroying the pipeline. Furthermore, Russia's TASS news agency has more on this issue. Douglas McGregor, former advisor to U.S. Defense Secretary in the administration of former President Donald Trump, said in a conversation with Andrew Napolitano, the presenter of the Judging Freedom podcast, the U.S. and the United Kingdom may be behind the explosions at Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 pipelines. Douglas McGregor said, "You have to look at who are the state actors that have the capability to do this, and that means Britain's Royal Navy and the United States Navy. I think that's pretty clear." He also noted the publication by Poland's former foreign minister, European Parliament member Radoslaw Sikorski, who thanked the United States for damaging the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2 gas pipelines on his Twitter page. Former advisor to the Pentagon chief called the notion that Moscow was behind the incident at the pipelines absurd. He said, "The Russians did not do this," adding that Germany's involvement in the incident was extremely unlikely. According to Turkey's Anadolu news agency, the United Nations warned on Friday, 30th of September, that damage to the Nord Stream pipelines under the Baltic Sea can exacerbate price volatility in energy markets in Europe and around the world. The UN Security Council convened an emergency meeting requested by Russia to discuss the leaks in the Nord Stream gas pipelines.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is Taqwa, Thursday the 2nd of Ramadan, 1394, 19 September, 1974. The remembrance of Allah is a rope we hold in our hands, which can save us from the traps laid for us by our ever-watchful foes. Therefore, the remembrance of Allah is something truly precious to which we should hold fast. They remember God. Just as they do something wrong or wrong themselves, they remember God and plead for forgiveness for their sins. In other words, they hasten to find a way to efface the sin and to heal the wound it has created in their soul. However, this is also not possible without God's help, as the verse continues. And who forgives sins except Allah? The Quran, Surah 3, verse 135. The effort is from you, the movement is from you, but the blessings are from God. We try our utmost, and Allah accepts our efforts. This means that it is our responsibility to take action. We cannot neglect this and simply expect God to do the work for us. And who do not persist in what they have committed while they know. They do not keep committing sins while they know them to be such. Their reward is forgiveness from their Lord. The Quran, Surah 3, verse 136. These ones who strive their utmost, who plead forgiveness for their sins, who do not persist in sinning and error, these are the people who will receive God's forgiveness and gardens with streams running in them to remain in them forever. How excellent is the reward of the workers. See how once again Allah emphasizes the importance of working and making an effort.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The faithful are only those whose hearts tremble with awe when God is mentioned. And when signs are recited to them, they increase their faith, and who put their trust in their Lord, who maintain the prayer and spend out of what we have provided them. It is they who are truly the faithful. They shall have ranks near their Lord, forgiveness, and a noble provision. Surah Anfal, Surah number 8, verse 2 to 4. They ask you, O Prophet, concerning the Anfal, who are they for? Who has the right to distribute them? We can translate the word Anfal as follows. Anfal means the wealth that belongs to all of the Muslims collectively. One example of this are the spoils that Muslims win through warfare. So this is not every source of income, but only some kinds of it.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done.
یوسف جلالی تهران
اروپا شابت گازا
جروم هیوز بروسلز
سعید پورزا لندن
رشا سگلم استانبول
سعید امین عالمی کابل
شهان بات اندین ادمنستر کشمیر
Around the world with reporters.
New jobs data in the United States showed a collapse of 1.1 million job openings, the biggest one-month crash ever outside of the COVID lockdown. It's also the first increase in the unemployment rate since April 2020, and that has many so-called recession deniers being forced to reconsider. The United States has had two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth, which is the standard definition of economic recession. However, in an effort to avoid the negative press the recession label receives, the administration of President Joe Biden claimed that a stable unemployment rate meant that the U.S. was not in a recession. That's no longer possible. Due to the so-called Uberization of the United States economy, the official data has long been accused of falsely portraying a rosy picture. The national unemployment rate is 4%, but many say the jobs available are part-time or lack crucial benefits like health care or are poorly paid despite the current record inflation.
People looking for benefits, they want to work from home. People are not settling like they used to. It's just a matter of, I don't want to say laziness, but I think people are just, they're trying to get the best that they want, and companies are trying to hold steady and their wages, and they're not willing to pay as much because costs are going up for them as well.
Amid the backfiring of Western sanctions on Russia, many businesses have responded by cutting job listings, slowing the hiring process, and may begin mass layoffs.
Now we've got the threat of recession, so some employers are cutting back on their hiring. My son-in-law just had to fire several people he had who were hiring people. So they're cutting back on their hiring process based on a precautionary measure, thinking there might be a recession.
The widespread perception is that America's central bank is forcing a recession to reduce inflation, even if that means throwing millions out of work, out of their homes, and guts pensions, which are usually based on the stock market. The drop in jobs is the latest piece of data which shows a dangerously worsening economic situation for the average American. Wages are losing ground to inflation at a record pace, and an economically chaotic October could translate into a painful holiday season for many. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
British police have released images of individuals they want to identify in connection with the recent anti-Iran riots opposite Iran's embassy in London. The London Metropolitan Police have already admitted that five officers were seriously injured during clashes with demonstrators on September the 25th. The protesters claimed to support Iranian woman Marza Amini, who collapsed at a police station in Tehran on September the 16th. A spokesperson for the Met said,
"We won't tolerate members of the public or officers who are doing all they can to maintain and regain order being injured in any circumstances. And we are now doing everything we can to make sure those who committed the violent offences are brought to justice."
Police are now guarding the embassy and consulate building, but other sites remain fearful of future attacks too. The Islamic Centre of England in Maida Vale was also targeted in the recent riots.
There's been so many cases where these so-called Iranians, these, you know, pro-Iranians have come and they've ripped off women's hijabs and they've beat up little girls and they've smashed in people's heads. It's just ridiculous.
The recent protests saw a hodgepodge of rival ideologies and dissident groups banding together. Many of these groups have a history of conducting violent attacks against Iranian expats living in the West. We witnessed supporters of the anti-Iran terrorist group, the MKO, and former Shah dictatorship supporters verbally and physically assaulting Iranians attempting to vote in London back in June 2021.
I heard a rock hit the ground. I didn't look back because I was shaking at that time as well. And it hit my trainer, bit of it. And then they're calling names. One of them said to me, and funnily enough, the policeman was there, but obviously you couldn't understand Farsi. He was telling me if I had a knife, I would cut you in pieces right here, right now.
Calm has returned to London streets for the time being. However, many of the dissident groups which took part in the recent riots remain active and at large, acting as opportunists, willing to jump on any opportunity to harass ordinary Iranian expats and seemingly anyone else who stands in their way. Robert Carter, London.
On Wednesday, Italy's largest retailers association, Confcommercio, warned that over 120,000 small businesses risk shutting down in the first half of 2023. The association said firms are squeezed by the cost of living and skyrocketing energy prices. The president of Confcommercio, Carlo Sangalli, urged the government to do more to shield small and medium entrepreneurs, as the situation for many is now very critical.
There is the risk of a high number of business closures in the coming 9 months. Some small firms will simply find it more convenient to suspend their activity rather than losing 200 to 300 euros a day. Having said that, Italy will soon face a mild recession, which frankly is not as worrying as the media depict it.
Last month, Italy's outgoing government approved an aid package worth some 14 billion euros in an attempt to shield firms and families from surging energy costs. The measure came on top of over 50 billion euros already budgeted since January to soften the energy crisis in the country. However, the aid seems to be insufficient as an increasing number of businesses are struggling to stay afloat.
Everything costs at least 20% more. Energy prices keep soaring and it is very hard to keep going. We need help. The government must do something.
I cannot afford paying expenses for my family. I have four dependent children. They're all unemployed. Bills keep going up. How do we cope?
According to Confcommercio, more than 370,000 jobs are at risk as a result of the energy crisis. Meanwhile, energy giant Eni announced that gas supplies to Italy from Russia have resumed after 4 days. Russia's state-controlled Gazprom cut off gas supplies to Italy on Saturday, citing a problem linked to regulatory changes in Austria. Italy's national energy regulator, ARERA, warned last week that prices would climb by almost 60% by the end of the year, but experts argue that its estimate was optimistic. Bills have risen by 93% in Italy over the past 2 years, and the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, together with the damage recently sustained by Nord Stream pipelines, is likely to push costs even higher. Max Civili, Rome.
Back on October 3, 2015, this Doctors Without Borders hospital in Kunduz was reduced to rubble after being hit by a U.S. deadly airstrike. 211 shells were fired in the strike, lasting almost 1 hour. The charity hospital later announced that 42 civilians, including staffers and patients, were killed, and dozens of others were wounded.
Throughout the NATO coalition presence in Afghanistan, there were a lot of blind airstrikes and rights violations against Afghan civilians, especially by American air forces. The 2015 attack on Kunduz Charity Hospital was one of those atrocities and the biggest of its kind. As I remember, it was so deadly and devastating. Hospitals in war zones are protected under the Fourth Geneva Convention, and attacks on them should be tried as a war crime.
After initially denying the building being targeted, the U.S. eventually claimed responsibility for the airstrikes, justifying that it had been a serious and tragic mistake.
Independently and impartially,
The MSF called it a breach of international humanitarian law and a war crime, demanding for an independent probe. But an independent investigation or trial has never been conducted against the U.S. forces' atrocities.
UNICEF هم اگر گفته جرایم جنگی اگر باشه نهادهای بین المللی برای اجرا کردن و بررسی کردن و
The MSF and rights bodies believe that the U.S. deadly air raid on Charity Hospital could be prosecuted as a war crime, but the international courts and bodies failed to conduct a trial because they are controlled by arrogant powers. They are funded by those countries and obey them. Besides, the U.S. has never agreed to turn any of their service members over to an outside judicial body. As a result, the case of the Kunduz attack was shot by Washington with a mere discipline of some American personnel, and no one was criminally charged.
Throughout the two-decade U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, there had been more than 13,000 airstrikes conducted by American forces in the country. The U.S. drone war on Afghanistan killed more than 4,000 people, including women and children. The U.S. airstrike on the Charity Hospital in Kunduz is one of the many instances of American forces' atrocities on Afghan soil. People here say the U.S. should be held accountable for crimes it has committed in Afghanistan. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Muslims in London were compelled to mobilize outside an Islamic center on Saturday following recent Islamophobic violence by anti-Iran protesters. On Sunday, the 25th of September, London witnessed an outpouring of anti-Muslim attacks as protesters claiming to support Mirza Amini were filmed attacking Shia Muslims commemorating Arba'in and the Iranian Islamic Center of England, following clashes with police outside Iran's embassy.
Last week, our mosque was attacked. Our procession was attacked. People were attacked that weren't even Iranian, had nothing, they didn't know anything about what was going on. And it impedes our freedom of religion in this country.
Protests over the death of Amini, a 22-year-old Iranian woman who fell to the floor at a police station on September the 16th, started shortly after her death was announced. Those protests soon turned into violent riots, with masked people attacking security officers, resorting to vandalism and desecrating religious sanctities, including hijab burnings. Dissident groups outside of Iran were quick to board the bandwagon, engaging in violent protests throughout Europe, especially in London and Paris.
We've got people not of an Iranian origin, but in fact of multinational origin who've come out here to direct their anger to these people who are loaded with anti-Islamic people, LGBT people, and all elements which are anti-Islam who've come out here to side with an event which has happened in Iran. But really, they don't care about that event.
A police presence remains outside the Islamic Center, that groups are continuing to target the site.
Saturday's demonstration passed by peacefully without any major incidents occurring. However, locals informed me that they remained deeply concerned that future attacks may take place. They also informed me that they were deeply frustrated at the local authorities who failed to protect the community. Robert Carter, London.
For the first time in a decade,